B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Oh, it's the 5 o'clock hour, the big 5 o'clock hour on Monday. So we get back at it. The Mike Missinelli Show. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Their big winter sales been extended through this month. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. 40%. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, start the 5 o'clock hour with a little presidential trivia.
Woohoo!
All right, let's go with this one here. Interesting question. Who was the first U.S. president to be married in the White House?
Ooh.
A. Is it Chester A. Arthur? Old Chet. Martin Van Buren. Did Marty do it in the White House? Benny Harrison or Grover Cleveland? Who got married in the White House?
I'm going Van Buren.
You're going Marty Van Buren.
And the reason I'm saying that is I think, didn't his wife die while he was in office, and then he remarried, if my memory serves me correctly? I could be totally making this up.
All right, Andrew, what's your answer?
I was going to go Grover Cleveland.
You're going Grover Cleveland. Believe it or not, I'm going to agree with Andrew. Because I think the story of Grover Cleveland was that he was this rotund man, and he married some child, if I got the story correctly in my head.
It was
embarrassing.
Right.
Grover Cleveland was the least likely guy you would think would marry a young chick. And I think that's what happened. So let's see. All right. It is Grover Cleveland.
Oh.
So Andrew's on the board. And that's three big warrior points for me.
Did his wife die?
No.
And then he married a younger woman.
I think you're right about that.
Was it him whose wife died, and then someone, and then he married a younger woman? Somebody's wife died while he was in office.
I think you're right.
Really?
I'll look it up. I'll look it up. It could not be a president. It could just be like somebody.
I actually think you're correct.
We'll look it up.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go Tim in Paloma. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
I'm Mike.
What's up, Tim?
It's Jim.
Jim? Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
That's all right, boy. You know, with the cheating, I just find it to be silly.
Jim, we got a bad connect on your line. You got talking into the microphone.
I'm going to try a little better here.
All right.
Any better, Mike?
Yes, but much better. All right, go ahead.
Okay. The baseball cheating, it's a convenience thing for baseball. After the strike, okay, we knew everybody was using steroids, but still knew he was using steroids, Mark McGwire and Canseco.
Mm-hmm.
But that was fine because it drew Ensos, and it brought up the ratings, and it brought baseball back, and it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? Okay, well, they didn't punish those guys, but they put Bud Selig in a Hall of Fame, which is a disgrace. And then, okay, now take a look at baseball. What's going on? Instant replay. Well, they're penalizing these guys for using technology to steal signs. But a coach, if a guy's caught stealing second base and he feels like he's safe, let's have the manager look in the dugout at a replay four or five times before he decides.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's stupid because you're getting the answer before you challenge it.
What's that?
I would like to see them do away with that. Just have them, if they're going to challenge. But you can't keep video away from people. You can't, you just can't. You can go in a clubhouse. There'd be somebody in a clubhouse watching TV in a clubhouse and relay the sign. So I don't know what they're going to do about it, on how they're going to stop this.
They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to call, balls and strikes. But if we're going to go all the way back to baseball, it wasn't about technology. And then, the great stories are the ones when they cheated, when the World Series was fixed. Which way do they want it? I mean, if Bud Selig was, let those guys get away with using steroids, I'll tell you what, I think that baseball would be a much more interesting game if every single player that wanted to use the PEDs were allowed to use it. Why is it okay for these guys to do it? And this guy goes in the Hall of Fame,
as a commissioner who, you know, he should have been banished from baseball. And I'm not an Astros fan. I'm a diehard Phillies fan. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, I never gave two thoughts to the commissioner. First of all, I don't believe commissioners deserve to be in the Hall of Fame anyway. Nor do I believe media people should be, but that's just another story. How about this? And I'm surprised they haven't done it yet. It's easy fix. Houston not eligible for postseason play.
I thought about that earlier today, too.
Now, with that, they can actually tank and get a good draft pick.
Exactly. Unless you then also take away the draft picks.
Right.
Or at least the first two rounds.
Take away the draft picks and no postseason play.
Because at that point, you are going to hurt them revenue-wise because people are going to go, what's the point of me buying season tickets if they're not going to get into the playoffs?
Right.
It's probably one of the better options. Instead of suspending the entire team.
You're banned from the NCAA tournament.
But yeah, exactly. You know, can you do that to a professional team and not a collegiate team?
It's interesting because the professional team has union protection.
Right.
And collective bargaining and all that stuff. Nick in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Nick?
I agree with your point on the cheating. We can't stop technology. No. However, I don't understand why. I think they should be stripped of the championship for that year, and I don't think it's a bad thing for baseball. I think even though it's negative, it could possibly turn out to be a positive because it gives us something to talk about for years to come. And if they want to change the rules so that we can start using this technology and encourage, you know, the managers to change their signs throughout the game, that'll be the reason why. You know, I don't strongly dislike the Astros. I just don't think it hurts baseball. But I think to be fair, they cheated and they should be stripped.
Well, what is that actually going to do to them? They're stripped of the World Series. Like, how does that punish them? Because everybody knows they want it.
It's the shame.
They could do that. See, they've done it in NCAA. They vacated the national championship, right? They vacate the wins in the season. But that's under the NCAA.
I have another quick question along the same lines with the steroids thing. I've never used steroids. However, if these athletes want to abuse their body in that way, I would think that we should just have a category for athletes who are using and athletes who aren't, because there's got to be somebody who's beating somebody on steroids.
I don't understand what you mean with the categories.
Well, if an athlete chooses to use steroids,
yeah,
well, just make it known.
So put a big S on his shirt.
Yeah,
it has to,
and he
has to prime
be like the David versus Goliath,
the Scarlet Letter.
It works for me, and I think we're being too hard on Ben Simmons.
We're being too hard on him.
Russell Westbrook doesn't have a shot.
Oh my God.
He's still an all-star.
Russell Westbrook makes shots. He takes shots. I mean, come on.
That's the only difference.
Come on. Come on, man. You got to at least take shots. Dotson in Wilmington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dotson.
Yes. How's it going, Mike?
How are you, Dotson?
Look, what do you think about that variation last night at that all-star game in reference to that Mike Elam ending?
I liked it. It made it exciting. That was a really exciting fourth quarter, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. They played a little defense. You see when Kyle Lowry took them to
a charge, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, they
all guys
that
would take a charge would be him.
They wouldn't do that in a normal all-star game.
Yeah, you got your TV on in the background, bro, because I can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to turn that off.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I still hear it, bro.
Wait, so hold on. I have a question.
What? About the TV on in the background?
Yes. No. Oh, okay. About the All-Star game. It was a great finish yesterday. But they keep on saying, there's been a lot of people saying, well, you know, it's great because they had a target score that they had to reach, right?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. What if one team was up 30? In the end, does it really matter? It would have to be competitive through the first three quarters. For the target score, people are making out this target score to be this big deal. Well, and I don't think it's that great of a change.
Well, of course it's a big change.
No, but if they still did 12-minute quarters, which they did until the fourth quarter because they had the target score and they had to reach the target score.
But it increases the competitiveness of each possession. The guys, when they have something to play for, get prideful. And they want to win. At the end of the day, they would rather win than not.
Yeah, but you also don't know that...
You're not going to see a blowout in an All-Star game ever anyway. So it's going to be close going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's going to be close. But what I'm saying is, whether it's the target score or there's still 12 minutes on the clock, you're still... I don't understand why this target score was such a big deal yesterday.
Because you made it competitive to reach that target score. Otherwise, it's just against a clock, and you're still going to have the same freelancing, no defensive play. Okay. You made it an issue to win by doing it that way, because personal pride got in the way.
Yeah, and then give credit to...
It's like you play to a score. It's like it takes all those guys back to how they played basketball their whole life.
They play
to
a score. Yeah.
And it's you either have to win or you sit. So it brings back all those things in these guys. And at the end of the day, it's a competitive...
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a competitive...
Now, did you agree with what Joel Embiid said after the game, saying you shouldn't be able to win on a free throw?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I didn't either. It was very anticlimactic. He missed the first one.
That's the big three rule. You can win on a free throw. So it should be like you can't win with a free throw. But then all they're going to do is foul.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no way around it. I don't know. Tom in Fishtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
What do you say, Mike? How are you?
What's up, Tom?
I'm old school like you. I want to see about 10 games consistently from the 76ers.
Yes.
Before I go chirping
about, well, Ben doesn't have to shoot, because I don't believe that in my heart, that he's going to have to show me he wants to attack like that every game.
I agree, and I also want to see them standing on the foul line holding the end of their shorts because they're so tired from putting out effort every game.
Well, they put out effort. I mean, come on. An NBA player has to put out effort to survive. Where are they not putting out effort?
Maybe because they're so good, you don't realize how hard they're playing.
Yeah, well, they're not so good. They're the fifth seed.
It's
a strenuous activity. Now, the only guy who kind of slogs his way up the court to conserve energy is the biggest body on the floor. So I can see why he does that. Well, it's hard to drag a big body up and down the floor.
I want to go off record a little bit. You were talking about getting ashes on Ash Wednesday, right?
Uh-huh.
I lived in San Diego, and it's so expensive. Everybody's working. The Presbyterian Church sent deacons and cassocks to Starbucks to give ashes to go.
Yeah, that's a new trend, the ashes to go thing.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a great show. I enjoyed every day.
Yeah, I went into the sacred church to do that.
I know. I know your intentions were good, but I still feel that's like borderline.
Borderline what? It's punishable.
It's sacrilegious.
Punishable by sin.
Blasphemous.
You think that...
You would have gotten a penance, just saying.
All right, you're God.
Yes.
Yes.
And you understand my dilemma as God, because God understands all.
I do.
God observes and knows all.
I do.
So he knows that this particular athletic practice, I guess it was baseball. Would it be baseball on Easter?
Yes.
Okay, so... So we had a practice probably at 4:00. So God knows that to be part of a team, you must be part of a team, that you can't miss practices. You just don't do that.
I'm God.
So God knows that my heart is in the right place, that I am trying to placate a stern father who wants me to see the ashes. And I went for the holy ashes. So it's like I could have cut a corner and used a Marlboro.
Smoked a cig.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So God knew I had pure heart intentions, and I went to the church to get the holy ashes because I'm trying to do a greater good and be a good teammate.
I think
that's the God I want to believe in.
No, but you're breaking two commandments.
No, God wouldn't be mad at me if my heart was pure, if my intentions were pure.
But you're still breaking two commandments, the first one and whatever.
What do you mean I'm breaking a commandment? What commandment am I breaking?
First one is I'm God. You should have no other gods besides me. You can't put baseball before God. So you chose not to go to church and have them assigned properly.
How do I even know that God is
not a baseball fan?
Is sanctioning the ash thing? I don't know that.
I mean, well, there's a ceremony.
There's a God for people who aren't Catholic who don't do the ash.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
but
so
you did the Catholic
God
thing.
A God is all understanding.
Look, I'm just saying.
The intention is what counts to God,
all
not
right.
The physical ash thing.
It's ceremonial.
Only to a Catholic.
Yes.
So you're saying a God would only be partial to Catholics?
No.
Okay. Well, then what are you saying?
I'm saying
God measures your heart.
It teeters on the line.
What's in your heart?
I agree. But I still think you broke a commandment.
Break any commandments?
This is 12 years of Catholic school.
Frank and Harry. You're brainwashed. That's why.
I am brainwashed.
Frank and Harrisburg. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Mike.
What's up, Frank?
I think that Ben Simmons is a modern-day Bob Cousy. Cousy averaged 18 points a game, 7.5 assists, and got 5 rebounds a game. And Ben Simmons is pretty much doing that. He's a modern-day Bob Cousy. Why complain about him? He's a great player. He's only 23 years old. He's only going to get better.
I understand he's only going to get better. I have never seen a player in the history of the league who would not take a shot. So
he's,
like, so
he's
what,
close
what,
to the rim all the time. And, isn't he averaging 18 points a game? I don't even know what his average is.
He's on a roll lately, but he had been averaging 16 points a game. I'm talking about being as complete a player as he can be and helping his cause to be such a great player by taking a shot.
You know,
Did Bob Cousy not take a shot?
I don't understand. He's a great player. I see him feeding people all the time, and you guys are throwing three-pointers from everywhere.
But hold it. He's a great player, Frank, who could be greater.
Let me put it this way. He's 23. I go back to the days of when guys played 4 years in college, okay? He could be in his rookie year in the NBA right now. He could. So I think he will eventually.
It's not that he will. It's doing it now. He's been in the league 3 years. Okay, can you imagine a player that won't take a shot? Have you ever seen anybody that wouldn't take a shot?
I don't know. I mean, I see him score a lot. He scores close to the basket.
But they need him to score 25 points a game with this team. To do that, he's going to have to take shots.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you. I enjoy watching him play.
Listen, he's my favorite player, okay. Which means I have a stake in this. I want him to be Giannis. There's no reason why he can't be Giannis.
Okay. I understand where you're coming from.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate it. There you go. Grover Cleveland, a lifelong bachelor, married Frances Folsom. Oh, this is a violation. The daughter of his former law partner.
Ew.
27 years younger.
Ugh.
That is an ew.
That's pretty bad.
Isn't that an ew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of out on that.
It was John Tyler whose wife died.
Oh, John Tyler.
Well, there have been three. Woodrow Wilson's wife passed away in office as well.
But John Tyler was, I think, before Van Buren. And it said his wife died and then he got remarried. He was the president who had the most children. He had 15 kids.
John Tyler did?
8 with his first, 7 with his second
one. He was also regarded as one of the worst presidents in U.S. history.
Well,
John Tyler.
Well, he was good at making babies.
I guess.
Bad president?
That's all he was good at, apparently.
Good at making babies.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. John in Germantown. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Yeah, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, John?
Nothing, man. I just want to talk about the Sixers. Mm-hmm. And I heard you say today that you don't think they can win the championship. Last year, did you think Toronto was going to win the championship in the middle of the season?
Yeah. I thought they had a really good shot because they had a great player and they had the best record in the NBA.
Right. I still think that the Sixers should have beat them in a 7-game series and went on and won the championship last year.
Except that they didn't.
Right. I mean, it is what it is. We're not going to cry over spilled milk. We're just going to clean it up. But my whole thing is with the Sixers is that we had the best starting five. Well, now, Horford is coming off the bench now, which I think they should have been doing since the beginning of the season. So outside of Horford, we had the best starting five in the NBA. So it's no way in the world that the Lakers, any of those teams on the West, if we get in the championship, will be able to beat us because the matchup problems that we cause.
Yeah, so you're missing one thing here. First of all, I don't think they have the best starting five in the NBA. Second of all, a starting five can't play 48 minutes. You have to get contributions off your bench, and their bench was weak until they just added two players.
Right.
So that's what I said. Before they added the two players, I said there's no way. In fact, they could lose in the first round. Now I think they have a chance to win in the first round, but I am not so certain they get past that.
No one in the East will beat us. Milwaukee, you know, Embiid will shut Milwaukee down. He'll shut out Giannis down.
It's a far leap to get to Milwaukee, though, bro. You got to play on the road a couple teams here. You got to beat, first of all, a team on the road unless you reverse this standing here.
Yeah, well, on the road, it comes down to coaching. It comes down to, you know, strategizing and doing things that you usually don't
do. Let me ask you this. Before Tuesday night when they beat the Clippers, were you saying the same thing?
I've been saying this since the season started. The Sixers are the best starting five. And
really? Yeah, they've been slogging in the sixth seed all year. How could you possibly be saying that?
They've been slogging in the sixth seed because on the road, the reason why they lose on the road, they don't change their style of play. They just take Ben down and they just...
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. But if you think they can, they're best starting, I don't happen to think they have the best starting five in the league. Especially now, where they're going to have to start Glenn Robinson at third. So... we'll see how it works out. I have to judge this team by seeing the new Sixers. And the new Sixers are that Joel and Ben love each other now, hopefully. They can finally play together. Plus, they got two important components. And they're going to use Horford off the bench, which seems to have created an interesting dynamic. All right. Presidential trivia as we go into the break. I have a 3-1-1 lead here. I can settle it right here. All right, here is the question. The question is, did you see the movie Dead Poets Society?
Yes.
All right. Walt Whitman's poem, "Oh Captain, My Captain," was written about which president? Was it Ulysses S. Grant, Zachary Taylor, Abraham Lincoln, or George Washington?
I'll go GW.
You're going George Washington.
No, Nat? I'm going Grant.
You're going Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah.
I'm going obvious. I'm going Abe. I mean, it's got to be Abe.
It's either, probably Abe.
Well, Ulysses S. Grant, I mean, that's a good guess because it's Civil War.
That's what I was
Captain
thinking.
Captain, my Captain. George Washington, maybe a little too young for Walt.
Yeah.
I'm going Abe. Let's see. Ah! "Oh, Captain, My Captain" was written in 1865 in response to the death of Abraham Lincoln.
Well,
that just about locks it up, my friends.
You win, Mike.
PSU 4, the Temple Owls 1. Back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic. Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you're more than a customer, you're family. Visit familyautos.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
The Astros cheating scandal, they've been slapped on the wrist, and now Major League Baseball is facing the biggest cheating scandal since...
It's the worst since the Black Sox.
Yes, and it almost got forgotten about there for 2-3 weeks. You know, now that camps are fully reported, guys are pissed.
Middays with Anthony Gargano.
The All-Star game last night. Here's the takeaway. Ben Simmons belongs. He belonged every which way last night and among the group of stars. And I'm sure you acute NBA fans out there noticed that.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
You know, football has its appeal in America, and it's the number one sport for a different reason. We're all plugged into football because of the gladiator mentality, and it's just part of it. It's a cold weather thing. It's a blue-collar thing. Football fans are blue-collar. But there's nothing that's, in my view, that satisfies more athletically than the NBA.
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic. The voice of the Philly sports fan.
Yeah, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers. Nothing satisfies like the NBA and dunk contest. I love it. And it had started to get mundane, but it picked up. Saturday night was a good dunk contest. Twitter poll. Final numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Check out that Husqvarna Automower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. My brother was checking it out of my house on Sunday.
Oh.
He had a heart surgery, so he can't mow his lawn anymore. So,
what do you think? Does he like Fred?
He loves Fred. And you can check out Fred in person at the Paul B. Moyer showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,500 votes on this one today. Should the Astros be banned from baseball this season? 63% say yes, 37% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right, so the dunk contest. I brought up the name J.R. Ryder a little earlier in the show. And I got a guy tweeting, he said, I can't believe you busted out J.R. Ryder. Because he was the first one to put the ball between his legs in midair.
Oh, is that right?
And dunked. But the J.R. Ryder story goes deeper than that. Because J.R. Ryder played at UNLV, and his coach there was none other than Rolly Massimino.
Oh, is that right?
And there was a scandal. J.R. had a little problem in the classroom. So his tutor, a tutor at UNLV, did all his work for him. And it turned into a big scandal where J.R. was suspended or kicked off the team.
Not the only time I'm sure that's happened.
Interestingly, the head assistant for UNLV at that time was Jay Wright.
Wow, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
Jay Wright followed Rolly to UNLV and was a two-year assistant there.
When was this?
94.
How long's Jay been at Villanova now?
See, UNLV wasn't any good. Jay Ryder was amazing. And I always had the theory that they looked the other way with this dude because he was their salvation. Like he made them competitive or else they would have been garbage.
Right.
So, but then something cracked. Some reporter cracked it open.
Those damn reporters.
J.R.
How dare they?
Bill in Essington. Bill, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Bill.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Bill?
Mike, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like going crazy on this. It's like, you know, the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, the All-Star games, they're like a waste of my time. You know, the only real All-Star game is MLB.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why they keep changing everything around. No East against West, you know, and all that stuff. So I just wanted to know what your opinion was.
I actually enjoy the NBA All-Star game because it's just, to me, a breathtaking exercise of athleticism. And I don't care that there's no defense play. These guys are running up and down the court. They're flying in the air. It's like watching trapeze. It's exciting. It's thrilling. Why does it have to be competitive? It's an all-star game. It's an exhibition. But they did make the fourth quarter competitive now.
Yeah, but I mean,
what do you want to see in an all-star game? These guys don't want to hurt themselves in an all-star game. They got their profession to worry about.
Well, that's the whole thing. Everything's all about money now.
Well, listen, they're protecting their profession. This is not part of their profession. This is just an exhibition. It's an all-star game. Like, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to, like go all out in an all-star game?
No, I don't want them to go all out, but, like, I liked it better when it was East against West. Same thing, you know.
What's
football.
The difference? They divvy up the teams, and you got two teams of great players against each other choosing sides like we used to do it on the playground. What's the difference?
I just think baseball is the only one that has it right.
Well, yeah, because baseball's harder, and you can't jake it in baseball, but I don't understand what your beef would be in the NBA All-Star game. Do you not appreciate
the NHL? the NHL and the...
That's what I'm saying. Those guys don't want to... The only reason it's competitive in baseball is because the pitcher has control.
Yeah, but I mean, did you see the tackling in that Pro Bowl?
That's what I'm saying. You're making my point. In the other sports, baseball's different. A pitcher has a certain expertise where he's trying to get a hitter out. A pitcher can't jake it in an All-Star game and humiliate himself by getting smashed all around the park. So he's got to be at his best. He's got to throw his best.
They have one. They know they have one inning, so they don't mind gassing it up for that one inning.
Exactly. And playing defensive baseball is a lot easier than playing defense in an exhibition game.
Right.
Because you don't have to bust your butt. Ground ball is there, you get it.
And let's face it, the Pro Bowl's a joke because in the NBA, at least, you're not doing that much athletic stuff in the Pro Bowl, right? Like, Odell Beckham's not really making one-handed catches because they're running at a, 60-75% speed, if that?
Yeah. And it's a common lament. More like old-school guys. They don't play any defense in those games. I wish they played defense. Now, what do they have? Like, what's the incentive for them to play defense in a game right. like that? There's no incentive. It's like, this is, the last thing they want to do is spill their bucket in an All-Star game that would affect their actual job, the regular season.
And the NFL's trying to do this, cash prize. Well, if you're on the winning team, you'll get $750,000, which for some of them is chump change. And
yeah, you just got to look at it a different perspective. You're not looking at the All-Star game to be defensively competitive. You're looking at it like it's a big display of athleticism. Bashir in Norristown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bashir.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Bashir?
Hutchinson's again, one point guard, wasn't known to be a shooter, who also won a championship in Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, but he actually took some shots. He wasn't a shooter. This guy does not take a shot. This is what my point is.
I am okay with Ben Simmons playing the way he plays.
You weren't okay with it until Tuesday.
I wasn't, but... I accept it for what it is. He doesn't have to be a shooter.
He does. And we've seen it before. Because he wasn't a shooter, defenses get the best of him in the playoffs when they play him a certain way.
I think this year will be the telling that we need to see, defense really do, change how they play against him. But as of now, I'm fine.
Well, you're going to be the first guy to complain. See, we have this frame of reference that, Ben finally figured it out. He's going to attack. But he's not going to be able to attack, because defenses that are really smart are going to play him the same way in the playoffs. This is why I'm saying he needs a life raft to make me feel comfortable. All right, let's go Anthony in Baltimore. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Mike Miss, this is why I love you, man. I've been listening to you for over a decade, and I couldn't agree more with you today, man. I never get to call in because of my work, but it's a pleasure being on with you today.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, you're a lure of the lure, right? I got the perfect comparison for you, and anybody who says they wouldn't do this is either a priest or a liar, okay? Now, let's say me and you are at the final table of a high-stakes poker tournament, and I turn to you during the break, and there's me, you, and two other gents left, right? And I say, hey, Mike, I can see these guys' cards through their sunglasses perfectly from where I'm sitting. So when I clear my throat, you need to fold, buddy, because that guy's got the nuts in his hand. And you mean to tell me you're not going to take my advice and fold when I clear my throat?
Yeah, the example is a little out there, but I get your point.
I mean, it could be anything.
I get your point. When faced with the way to make something easier, the human being, the species, is going to take the chance to cheat. That's why. That's how we all are. We sin. Correct. We sin every day.
Yes, sir, Mikey Miss. And this is my thing. Anybody who says they wouldn't take that advantage. Now, is it right? No. But if you, like you said, if you're going for a prize and you have a one up against your opponent, you're going to take it.
Exactly. Now, if you're going to get caught, there are going to be ramifications. So you are taking that chance. But in the moment, you're not thinking about the ramifications. It's like somebody who commits a crime. Is he thinking about the jail term? No, he's thinking about the score.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you knew you had an opportunity to make it to the final two and put more cash in your pocket, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to fold when this guy clears his throat.
Exactly. All right, Andrew, people, they put him in jail. All right? They put people in jail forever for breaking and entering and stealing. Has that been a deterrent to future stealing?
No. But the Astros also didn't get punished at all.
Because it's the moment. It's like, oh my God, I could smash and grab. You're not thinking of, well, it's going to be, there's going to be jail at the end. They're not thinking of, they're thinking of the score.
Well, maybe and they should go to jail.
And baseball players are thinking about
jail time for the Astros.
They're breaking commandments, damn it.
They are.
All right, last president's trivia. Who was the first president to appear on television? Is it A, Dwight D. Eisenhower, B, John F. Kennedy, C, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or D, Harry S. Truman?
All right, I think it's FDR, and people, this was the first time that people found out that he was sick.
Yeah, I think it's FDR as well.
And I agree with you. Because most people would say Kennedy because they remember the Kennedy-Nixon debates. But FDR was on a black and white screen way back. He was actually on TV, not because he was sick. He was on TV for the opening ceremonies of the World's Fair.
And he was sitting, right?
But that's what a lot of people felt.
Right, but people weren't that aware that he couldn't stand.
Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't put him behind the podium. Yeah, I'm not saying he did it because he wanted to show that he was sick, but because he did the fireside chats, everybody was like, all right. And then all of a sudden he does the TV appearance. People were like, whoa, he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think his polio was actually known.
Yeah, it was known, but I don't know if people knew that he couldn't stand. Really? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think there's something to that.
Oh, so you guys know more than me because you went to Temple. So that's good work. But the last question. Off. All right, coming up, it's Sound Off right here in 5 minutes on Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5, The Fanatic. Go to Sound Off.
You gotta be faking me. What in the hell are you doing?
You gotta be. Time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705. That is the Sound Off line. If you got something to say, especially after the All-Star weekend and Ben and Joe together. Ben with a big butt cheek slap of Joe that game. See that? Ran out on the floor again. But didn't look like he liked it that much.
No, I think he might have just been shocked. Caught off guard.
Shocked by a butt cheek slap?
Yeah. It was like a...
Kind of weird.
It's a thing.
All right, anyway. The butt cheek slap, I think, has gone away for the most part. It gets the lower back or the shoulder.
No, it's still in baseball. They're all slapping each other's butts.
In baseball, they do the butt cheek slap, but it's got a little more passe, I think. Yeah, bring it up a level. A little higher. All right, let's go with Sound Off.
I think that this 76ers team that they've assembled would have been dominant in the 80s or 90s. They would have contended for a title every season. But in today's NBA, the 7'2" center is obsolete. The point guard who doesn't shoot the ball, obsolete. Every team in the league has gone smaller, faster, and has better shooters, except us.
Well, I can't say you're incorrect, and the league seems to be going that way, which when people ask me, which one would you trade? They're not going to trade anybody next year, but if they would come to a decision on trading him, I would think that Embiid's position is less important than Ben's position. But we'll see in the playoffs, because half-court ball still matters in the playoffs.
A member of the organization saying that the sign stealing, the way they cheated, did not have an impact on the game, and the MLB commissioner comes out and says their punishment is that they're going to have to live with the guilt of this. Seriously, that's a punishment? You look at what soccer has done, and
removing a team completely for 2 years. What the heck is wrong with baseball? The NBA is totally a better league than baseball now. Baseball has become a joke.
Soccer doesn't have a strong union like Major League Baseball Players Association. So that's why you just can't willy-nilly do stuff like that. You gotta flesh it out with the lawyers.
Jason, from Ridley again. How about that shape MB put on LeBron in the post? Woo! Going to the ship, baby.
It's a good move by MB. A little shake and bake. Make that little jumper. Gotta do more of that.
We need to play a recording of Whitney Houston singing National Anthem. Chaka Khan made my ears bleed. In a hall, and
there, Chaka Khan. too much. She put too much.
Way too much.
Yeah, she embellished it.
They can't get it right. They can't get it right, can they?
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of summer. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 545 to see if your sound dog gets on. Tell me something good. That's Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. Stay tuned. Devon Gibbons right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe Torti will follow. Joe will join Devon in the show on NBC Sports. Philly, it's Quick Slants. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.